Hi there, it's Shelby Alexander, and welcome to the Spiritual Journey Podcast, a place where we explore the spiritual nature of this human experience and how to live happy, free, and thrive together. Before today's episode, I want to extend a special invite to a new program I created called 40 Days to Meditation. If you're like me, you have absolutely felt overwhelmed at times in your life by the idea of starting meditation, or maybe struggled to commit to a meditation practice. Maybe you didn't know which meditations to do and for how long. You've generally felt a lack of guidance and support, which led to maybe some general overwhelm, and maybe followed by self-judgment. Sound familiar? Well, I created a meditation program for people like us, the program I wish I would have had when I first started my meditation journey. It's called 40 Days to Meditation, and it includes a charcuterie board through 40 different meditation recordings by yours truly, followed by a daily journal prompt delivered to your inbox each day. I want meditation to be simple, accessible, and something that you really only have to wake up and press play to begin. This program is that, and it's less than $2 per day, and I guarantee you it will cultivate a meditation practice that sticks, make you feel empowered, and enjoy the peace that comes from mental well-being. It also includes access to a special support group community, if that serves, that you can subscribe to, as well as additional bonus yoga nidra recordings for deep relaxation that you can try before bed. If you want to start meditating, join me in 40 Days to Meditation and check it out on my website, shelbya.com, shelbya.com. If you go to offerings, you can find the 40 Days to Meditation tab there, or Google Shelby Alexander 40 Days to Meditation and it'll pop up. I've put links in the show notes as well. Type in podcast 40 to receive a special discount. I wanted to give my podcast listeners a little bit of extra love in beginning a meditation journey, and so I made this discount code for you. Again, see the show notes for more details. Let's get meditating, y'all. Big love always. Hey, everybody. Welcome. I am so excited to be sharing this episode with you with a dear companion of mine, Sam Allen. This episode was so healing for me to record, and we travel through some pretty juicy topics: tantra, navigating anxiety, developing intuition, clairaudience, clairvoyance, and awakening experiences, all the while drip dosing in amazing poetry that Sam has written. This was really, really special for me to be a part of, and I'm so excited to share it with you. I hope you enjoy. Hello, and welcome to this Spiritual Journey podcast. I am so excited for the guest that we have on the show today. Her name is Sam Allen. She is a beyond playful and intuitive creative leadership coach. She works with teams in workshops as a facilitator. She's also a poet, a podcaster, and so much more. She is the Renaissance woman of the modern age in so many ways. Sam's originally from the UK and lives in Switzerland. And one of my favorite facts about her is that she's a self-confessed crazy cat lady and spends most of her time outside and really working with empowering women. Sam, welcome to the show today. I'm so glad to have you.
I'm thrilled to be here with you, Shelbylicious. I really am. And I'm so glad you put the bit in about the crazy cat lady, because once that's been said, I feel like I can just relax and be myself, yeah. You know?
it's so you on a level. It's like this eccentricity that without, it's almost weird. It's weird to not have this part.
Totally. And when my eccentricity is allowed to be out there, then everything just feels right for me, you know. It's that I have to contain it that it's difficult. So thank you for letting me get out of the box and be me, because you always do, Shubs.
Absolutely. I'm really so touched to have you, and I have so many questions and things that I want to chat about today. But for the listeners, I also want to just acknowledge that you are the best living poet that I personally know in this life. And so today's episode might feel a little bit different in that we'll be dripping in some of your poems, which I'm so grateful you're willing to do that for us.
Oh, I'm delighted to share, Shelby. And it's so kind what you've just said. And poetry has such a special place in my heart that it feels like a gift to be able to, you know, share it. So thank you for allowing that space and allowing me to bring that forward to today.
Yeah, totally. And for my first question for you, I love to just help people connect with the human that we all are, right? Like, we have all these crazy, amazing, high credential titles. And though we're walking the spiritual journey, we are so deeply human. And so I would love for you to share some of the very real human hats, like Crazy Cat Lady, that you wear in this life.
Oh gosh, I love that question. So, jogger, blogger, terrible cook, terrible housewife, good friend, loyal friend. Oh gosh, there's so many shelves. Those are a few to start with.
A wino, right? I know.
Oh yes, I do like, I love a glass of wine for free. Actually, these days I'm a little bit more tempered on the wine, but you know, when it comes to Friday night, there's nothing nicer than cracking open a glass of wine or a gin and tonic, or you know, whatever the poison may be.
Totally. I love it. Well, I would love to hear one of your poems, if you're willing to kick us off with one.
Oh my gosh, yes, I would. And you know what? I'm going to go in with a deep one. So I wrote this poem after I had been to a tantra massage, and I was sitting by the river, and it was really bizarre because I just had this instant kind of hit feeling of, I have to write this. It's not like I'm feeling inspired, I'm going to create a poem. It's like, you have to write this. Mm. And so I did, and this is what came. And it surprised me because, as you know, many of my poems are rhyming, and this one just came out as some kind of like speech thing from who knows where. And so I am going to dive in and read you this one. And it's called Arrival. What will it take for you to finally get into your numb little skull that you're already there? Yes, right there. The exact spot in which you are currently standing is the place for which you were intended. But I'm not rich yet, or famous, or skinny, or successful, I hear you say. I haven't bought a house, got married, had children, owned a cockatiel, bought a camper van, or eloped to Outer Mongolia. I'm not as clever or as funny or artistic, inspiring, confident as, insert a friend's name here. For goodness sake. Maybe you will be one day, and maybe you won't ever be. And your hypotheses and comparisons are all beside the point, quite frankly. For the point is that right now is your destiny. The precise instant in which you gaze your forgivably cynical eyes upon this text is your moment. Do you feel the spring breeze skipping across your sacred cheeks? Do you hear the birds wolf whistling at your beautifully imperfect human soul? Can you feel the invigorating whoosh of your heart's falls as you surge beyond the most ruthless of rocks? The charging forth of your undeniable, vulnerable magnificence. You are loved. Do you know that? Loved, needed, held, desired, and cherished much more than you may ever even realize. Unless, of course, you choose to pause for a millisecond and catch your glory in the cool mirroring of the river's revelation one miraculously sunny afternoon, and let yourself be clearly seen. Yes, there you are. Thank you for finally showing up.
Oh, Sam. It's so moving. It's so moving.
And I thought you'd like the last line as well, Shel.
I know, that's a little bit of an inside joke that cracked me up a bit.
But you know what? Writing that thing was so bizarre because, I mean, I really do relate to being a channel, and I am receiving a lot of messages. And this one was like, there wasn't any crafting in it, you know? It wasn't like, oh yeah, that's an idea and I could do that with it. Or it literally was whoosh, right through. And so, you know, I'm often surprised when I read back what I write, but this one was like, oh my God, you know, where did it come from? It's not even my usual style. So it was powerful. And I think it really did come from a moment where I saw myself with such lucidity after that massage. And it just had this powerful impact on my receptivity at that moment. Yeah.
It's so, so beautiful. And it's funny, like as guides, if I can be so bold as to call each of us a guide in our own way, coaches and this sort of thing, I find that so much of our creative offerings is also what we need. And so I'm curious for you, like, what about this poem feels healing for your own ears?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's just such a note to self. Like, I think just about everything I write is probably that. And I think it's the aspect of being perfectly okay just as I am, you know, that self-acceptance piece, the self-love piece, the knowingness that I don't need to go anywhere or do anything or achieve anything to be perfectly lovable just as I am. And I think I had that moment of clarity when this message came through of knowing that. And I can't say I feel like I know that all the time, right? But there was something precious about receiving that and actually embodying it and channeling it through words. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, listening to that, I mean, I think your poems are always medicinal, really. And the reminder of worthiness just, boom, hits me in the face. And it's so important because I think we've all been there. We've all been there on this human journey of like the game of comparison, of feeling lack and scarcity and not enoughness and yada, yada, yada. And your poem playfully like brings us into that present where we are all of the things, like we are all of the things that we seek in that moment. We have enough in that moment, sitting by the river, looking at our face. Like there's profound wisdom and playfulness, which you so like elegantly weave together always, my dear friend.
Thank you. I mean, the first line's a bit harsh, isn't it, about the numb little skull, but it was feeling as I kind of wrote it, it was like I was being shaken. you know. Yeah, totally. That's what it was, you know. And sometimes we do have to shake ourselves, mm-hmm. because, you know, life really is now, and we are enough in the here and now. And our minds might have us believe otherwise, and that's the time to really tap into that heart wisdom and to the higher knowing that we have in ourselves around, you know, our worth. And sometimes we do have to shake ourselves.
That tough love, you know, that, I love you enough to like really shake you open right now. Yeah. Totally.
Exactly.
Big time. And I want to come back to Tantra, because this poem came through you after that. And I also want to talk about intuition, because I think you have a very unique journey with that. And it's helpful for a lot of people who are also experiencing intuitive gifts more and more every day. We're learning to kind of get a sense of someone's journey with that. So let's talk Tantra first. So you go to a Tantra massage. For those who are like, WTF, like, I don't know what that is. Like, can you bring them along?
Oh my gosh, with all of the juicy details, Hisham.
With whatever you feel excited to share.
I will share. So you go along and you have a kind of intro talk about what you want to be with during the session. So I usually set myself an intention. Could be around flow, could be about relaxation, empowerment, you know, who knows. And then basically you get naked. And the massage is very intimate. It can be erotic touch. It doesn't have to be. And basically through this healing of being touched in that way, the Shakti energy is activated in your system, in your body, and it begins to travel. And as you kind of breathe down, it rises. And in sky dancing, they talk about the inner flute actually being kind of the energy channel that's going up through the chakras, right out up through the top of your head, through the crown chakra. And so the feeling is of being opened up to the circuit of energy through the chakras. And awakening to the presence of that full feminine energy in your body, in your heart. I mean, you shouldn't start me on this topic, because literally I could like dominate the rest of the podcast episode talking about
I have to bring it up, because I know that it's been something that's been just in the last, 2 years, right?
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
Powerful. And it's not ironic to me that like something as creative and beautiful as this poem arose post this session. And I'm not saying, hey, everybody go do a tantric massage, like to each their own. We have different things that can do this for us. But for you, it seems like this offering has been really healing. And from what I know about Tantra, there's a lot of misrepresentation, especially in the Western world. People are like, ah, that's like the sex thing, right? It's like, no, not quite. But it is all about activating that creation energy, which is absolutely our inner masculine and feminine and our erotic senses. I mean, having sex creates life. Like, is there a bigger form of creation? Like, there's not. So
totally. I'm so with you. And I think it's why I personally find it so powerful, because I have so much creative energy. And that is both creative in terms of my writing and moving, and also sexual energy, you know? And so it gives it a channel, another channel. And I think that's so healthy for the system. It's so healthy for the soul. And the experience is very divine each time. I think the most divine experiences I've ever had in my life have been through these Tantra massages. And I'm really lucky actually, because I have a place that I go to, which I really trust, and, you know, it feels very sacred. And I walk away feeling way more connected to my spiritual self. And at the same time, as I was saying, it's empowering and liberating and fun and joyful and sexy, you know. And that is like what I want for women and for men, for everybody, is that they feel okay to celebrate enjoying their body and its pleasures. It's okay to say it. It's okay to want that. And it's not all about somebody touching you to experience that. Some of it is actually being in touch with your own energy, your own body, and being able to enjoy that first before it becomes about sharing it with other. And I think, you know, another part of the tantra has been that it's been like full permission to enjoy my full sensual self and how I like to be touched and how I experience my own Shakti energy. Yeah, it's incredibly liberating. And it, you know, I see the knock-on effects in my life in terms of freedom, just like when I come out, when you've seen me after one of these massages, like literally my energetic field like just goes so big. Yeah. I have even more energy. Some might argue that's not a good thing. And you know, I feel actually in my work with my clients that I'm able to open a space that's even more permissive because I've given my own self that permission. So it has so many, you know, positives to it. I can't even begin to say.
It's so beautiful. And I'm so grateful that you're willing to share your experience with it, because I think some people, I mean, even myself, when I first heard about tantric massages, I was like, oh damn, like what, like, wait a minute, hold up. Can someone, what is that all about? What does that mean? Like, it makes us like a little bit, because I think as a culture, especially the Western world, has gotten so used to repressing our sexual nature. Like which by the way, is a part of our wholeness, which is why it's so important and beautiful, and why I hear this reclaiming of sexuality, reclaiming of wholeness in your story. And it's really touching. I feel like one of the many impacts, maybe the more conservative Christian, I don't know, journey that our society has been through has been this repression of sexuality. And we're seeing that start to evolve away, which is really, really powerful.
Totally.
Bringing back this acceptance of the wholeness and not making any of the things that are our true nature bad.
Yeah, right. I'm remembering also a conversation that I had during our inner leadership retreat with Janet, one of our tribe mates. And at the time I was experiencing quite a high level of anxiety due to various things in my life. And it's something that I've struggled with on and off, you know, since my early adulthood. And then somehow we got on the topic of tantra or sexuality or sexual energy, I don't know. And then it just kind of clicked in that sometimes even anxious energy can be generated when that part of us doesn't have full expression. And so it can be really healthy for the system to allow it out through channels such as tantra or, you know, whatever your thing is. Yeah. So there, you know, the healing goes in so many different ways here. And I know for myself that since I've offered myself this gift on a monthly basis, my anxiety has considerably lessened. I mean, it's not just that that's contributed to it, but it definitely has been a part of my personal healing process. And yeah, I'm so grateful for that. So like, why wouldn't you? Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's brought you healing. I personally believe like anything that's bringing someone healing is a good thing. Like we need wholeness. We need people vibrating with their wholeness on this planet. And I would love for you to share a little bit about your journey with anxiety, especially in the year of, you know, it's 2021, COVID is hopefully becoming less of a thing, but TBD on that. And I think a lot of people have, just through the nature of this year, suffered from anxiety in new or different ways. And so your journey with it would be just great to hear.
Sure. I'll try and do the brief version. Otherwise it could be a bit long-winded. It started for me in my late teens, and I had quite a big rupture in my family. I felt really thrown off course by it. And this all happened just before I left for university. So as I was leaving to start my new exciting life, you know, in a different town in the UK, leaving home, My family really broke down in a way that was really difficult to be with at that age, in the way that it happened. And so I began experiencing panic attacks, all those horrible symptoms that come along with anxiety, you know, sweaty palms and racing thoughts and insomnia and, yeah, just all of that horrible stuff. And it was kind of like a trauma response, I think, at the time, really, to what I was experiencing. And so as a result of that, I mean, it was kind of maybe a form of PTSD is what they told me at the time. And of course, having that one episode and having it quite young and in such a strong way, then at various times in my adult life, it could get re-triggered. You know, I could go through a year, 2 years, 3 years, nothing, and then something might happen that might almost like touch on that part and would re-trigger that response. And so, yeah, it was really, really difficult to be that young, actually, and to be going through such powerfully overwhelming feelings. And what I want to say is that I had to resource myself a lot of the time on my own at that time, because people weren't speaking out to anxiety then so much. You know, you got given the medication, you got, you could go to the doctors, and that's just what happened. And so I read a lot. I read a lot of self-help books. I did a lot of meditation. I went to speak to a counselor, several actually. And, you know, whilst my friends were off kind of doing university things, I was there on my own self-discovery journey at the age of 18, really. And I know for some people that's even younger in their life, you know, but it still did feel like quite a lot at that stage. And so I learned to live with it. And the gift in it has been that I so know when people are experiencing those symptoms, I so know where they're at. I can so be with it because of the fact that I've personally experienced it. And I've had a long time to learn what it is that helps me to heal, to live with, to get over. I don't know whether you ever completely get over that, but, you know, to deal with myself and be with myself in it. And yeah, it has been a big journey. And, you know, one of the hugest lessons, of course, has been around speaking to it. And that came forth particularly strongly for me during our inner leadership journey, because I'm remembering I had some anxiety in that time, and we were sat around in the circle and I could feel it getting quite bad. And all I wanted to do was just to run out of the room, you know, and like just go and not have people see me feeling that way, because it's very visible when you're experiencing those symptoms. And yet this other part of me knew, hang on a minute, you signed up for a journey alongside a group of people that are going through all their own shit with you. They don't care. They're going to love you as you are, and they're all in it and they're going through their stuff. And so that part that knew that, and I guess that's coming a bit back to the human there, you know, what you were bringing in the beginning, Shelby, made me decide, I'm staying with this. These buggers are going to see me as I am struggling, feeling exceptionally vulnerable, and let's see, you know. And honestly, the love that I received from you guys, the amount of connection I felt from the fact that I had let myself be seen in this very fragile, vulnerable place. I mean, even just to say it now, you know, I have this very strong connection to my dad, especially in this room that I'm talking to you from. And I feel him, my dad passed away 2015. I feel him putting his hands on my shoulders and saying, just relax, you know. And I think that's the that's what I felt in that moment too. Relax into wherever you are, you know. And yeah, I allowed myself to be seen in my full vulnerability, and that was a massive factor in me learning different ways to be with anxiety. And I really find now speaking out to it, writing about it, sharing it, you know, if I'm meeting a friend, instead of thinking, oh, should I cancel because I don't want them to see me like this, you know, saying, look, I'm really feeling a bit anxious today, looking forward to seeing you, or just showing up like that, you know, and telling them, that stuff has really changed how I am with myself, and has opened up so much more for me. I'm allowed to be like that. You know, we're allowed to be in our human states.
Totally.
We don't have to pretend.
You're lovable while anxious.
There you go.
Like completely lovable.
Yeah.
And having had the benefit of being in that room and the part of the story you were sharing about the leadership program we were in together, honestly, what a gateway for love. Like that was such a beautiful moment of how I think community is meant to be. Yeah. So healing for everyone. Like you're willing to be courageously authentic, as I know you really aim to be, by allowing yourself to truly feel what was true for you, anxiety. We all got to be let into a moment of deeper connection with self and other. And this for me is why I feel like there is, when people say there's a gift in the shadow, this is what we're talking about. There's always a deeper gateway to more love, more connection, if we have the courage to step into that part of ourselves.
Yeah.
And you just do that so, so brilliantly. And I know how hard it is to let ourselves go there. God, it feels like you're going to die, doesn't it?
It really does. And I'm not going to lie, it's scary as hell when you feel like that. Yeah. It really is.
And we were just saying before we started recording this episode, I had this meditation this morning with Adi Ashanti, and he talks about fear being a natural response for us when we're really protecting something that we love. It's like a natural response to protect something that we love. So we love ourselves. Like that's why it's scary. It's because we don't want to jump off the cliff. It feels so scary.
And yet when we do, then we allow others to also love us. So, you know, that's why it's worth it. Totally. You know?
Totally.
And you can fly when that happens. Yeah, it's messy.
It's totally messy. And it feels like those are those mini ego deaths, right? Like, it's like, okay, this another layer of self that is really trying to repress this, to keep me safe and to lock in my authenticity, be it my anxious side, be it my bold side, be it whatever. It's like that has to die a little bit each time we're courageously authentic.
And I really do feel on a physical level, not just on a kind of philosophical level, because I know it from my own experience, that when we go there and that happens, we literally clear physical space for the light to come in. And I remember in the time of that journey, I was holding a lot of tension in my belly and sacral chakra and solar plexus, just so much tension there. And after, you know, being with that stuff and being with the roar and letting it show and all, you know, all of that, I remember maybe a few weeks later, I think it took that amount of time, but noticing there was virtually none of that there. And my heart felt more open. And interestingly, actually, maybe that's a good segue to what happened when I completed the leadership journey, because and that was, you know, right at the start of the pandemic. Maybe it was because I'd cleared a load of stuff out and I'd gone to the messy bits and cried and, you know, and faced into the anxiety and all the rest of it. I had a very powerful awakening experience.
Yeah, tell us, please. People love that phrase.
Well, you know what? The thing with it was that it was the most normal thing ever. So like I have, when I speak about it, right, especially for people that's not into, you know, too many of the older woo-woo stuff, I think, like, how can I phrase this to explain it to them? But it really was so normal. Like, I didn't, like, meditate to awaken. I didn't, nothing like that. I went to bed the first night when the pandemic had got serious. Felt quite anxious and scared, thinking, you know, what's happening? How's this going to impact everybody? And all those kind of very human emotions that were going on for many of us, most of us around that time. And literally woke up the next day, and again, it was physical. I physically felt my heart widen, expand, grow, heart space, let's say. And I'm doing, I wish people could see me right now, because my hands are telling more of a story than my words can really convey. But there was like this feeling of opening and expansion that was just like really normal somehow. And I would say for 6 months after that, it was like everything became heightened through my senses. And so when I, you know, I love to go out walking, I'm out walking and jogging every day. And I always appreciate nature, and I always feel in communion with nature. And yet this was on a different level. One of the first days I saw a salamander crossing the path. I've never seen a salamander on this path, and I've lived here for 12 years. And apparently they are a symbol of psychic sensitivity. As a lady that was on a call that I was leading, how do you say that word? You might need to cut this bit out. I don't know. Sorry, Shelby. You're not doing any cuts, are you? In a moment of synchronicity, she sent me this definition, of the symbolism behind this salamander. And all sorts of things were just happening in around that time that were these constant affirmations of heightened awareness, heightened seeing, heightened feeling of spiritual presence on earth. That's how I would describe it as. And it felt very grounded, and it felt very real. It wasn't scary, it wasn't weird. It was absolutely beautiful, honestly. The thing that was happening though was that I felt like I was having such a feeling of love in my body, but I didn't know what to do with it all. And so, you know, I created from it, and I tried to like give it out or do something with it. And I was noticing that it wanted to have something to attach itself to almost. So sometimes that would be in human form. It just wanted it wanted to be attached and to be expressed. And that was powerful to feel that. Literally like that experience lasted for about 6 months. And now, you know, I can tap into how that felt, but I'm not in that phase. I'm really grateful that I did experience it, because it was the most beautiful, graceful, humbling gift, and probably the best time in my whole life. And I sometimes felt bad at the time speaking to that, because there the world is going through this, you know, hideous time with the pandemic, with the loss, with the struggles, with everything that involved. And there was I experiencing that, and I actually sometimes felt, can I share that, you know, in these times? But it was my experience.
It's so amazing how we're willing to accept things like anxiety, things that are hard and painful, but as soon as it's like joy and bliss, we're like, shit, I feel good.
I know,
it's real. And it's also, I just have to comment, it's not ironic to me that I mean, I see you as an incredibly sensitive being with intuitive and psychic gifts for sure. And it's not ironic to me that your anxiety, especially at an early age, was so strong. Like, I think that that's a natural reaction for sensitives who don't really know what to do with all of that deep feeling as well. And I can relate to you on a level with that too. It's powerful. And it doesn't seem like everyone necessarily is in on that same joke. So you think like something's wrong with me. Like, I don't know how to do this thing.
You're so right. And that's the thing, right? Is that what I've learned from speaking to people is that not everybody does experience things like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to communicate when you do how that is without feeling stupid, over the top, whatever. But what did help me was reading the work of Elaine Aron and her writing around high sensitivity, because I am a highly sensitive person. And I'm also what they call an HSS HSP, I think it's that way around, anyway, which means highly sensitive person, I guess, and then high sensation seeking. So what I live with,
no wonder the tantra, Sam. No.
I feel everything on steroids, basically.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, some highly sensitive people don't seek thrill because that's too much for them. And, you know, I'm making this very simplified here, but in my case, in being this kind of, it's fairly rare to be both of those things, but there is a small population of society that's both. So I struggle with this polarity in me, which is this very, very sensitive, receptive, all feeling, you know, being. And then the other side of me, which does seek thrill. And actually, even though it's intense, wants even more of it, you know?
It's like deep feeling and wants to deeply feel.
Yeah, there you go. You said it. And what I have learned, you know, in that journey, and it is all linked, you know, everything. I feel like we've gone to a few topics, but they all come down to the same thing, right? What I have learned is to honor my energy. Mm. And you, Shelby, once said something that really stuck with me. And you said it was, again, it was in the leadership journey. And you said we were having to give each other feedback of when we didn't show up as a leader. Mm. And you said to me, you don't show up as a leader when you don't honor the fact that you're a soft sponge and your needs aren't the same as everybody else's. Something along those lines. I've got it written down and I've reread it a few times in my journal. And that's so true. Mm. And now I can feel, yes, it's okay to be that. It's okay to have needs that are different from other people's. It's okay to have that receptivity, that ultra absorbing place in me that means that I have to, you know, look after it in a different way than maybe some people do with their needs. Mm-hmm. And I even hear my voice change as I speak there. I'm on a journey still with that, and I am increasingly learning to honor that my needs are as valid in this sensitivity place, even if they're not understood by everybody.
Yeah, and they're different than the norm or what have you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful and such an honor too to hear that that had an impact on you. It's funny, like for me, I find that my intuitive gifts come in the form of just seeing people, like just getting it. Like it's rare for me to meet a person that I don't empathize with or feel like I can get on a level. Like, I don't, so it's similar to your describing the poetry. Like, I don't even remember, like that didn't take thought to say to you, do you know? It just like comes through in a way.
Yeah. You're brilliant at that. You've got such a gift for getting to the heart of the message and articulating it so brilliantly.
Thank you.
And intelligently, you know, not everyone could do that. You're so good at that.
Thank you. I have one final question for you.
Yes.
So when you were talking about, more of a topic rather, but when you were talking about having this awakening experience, okay, I think some people, my personal belief is this is going to keep accelerating. More and more people are going to have mini, some people call it kundalini moments, awakenings, moments of consciousness, what have you. And it's really helpful, I think, to hear examples of like what that actually is for people, so they don't think they're like going to be lost in a starry galaxy in their mind meditating on their bed, maybe, but also like maybe not. And what it's been like for you after. And I want to share the context of why I'm asking this, because for me, last April, I went off to Maui for really, it was almost 2 months, and it was a deep self-inquiry time in COVID, like a lot of us had. And I was pretty much by myself most of the time, just trying to understand the joke of this journey and really get down to like, okay, universe, but like, why am I here really? Like, what am I really doing here? And I experienced very similar things to what you described, like huge heart, synchronicities all over the place, whether it be a parking spot available, literally wherever I needed to park, like in front of the door, the person I needed to meet to then offer a sublease, like everything I needed was provided. I was like, oh my God, I am a walking goddess on this earth. This is incredible. Like, and then I came home and, you know, started reentering into my, I'm doing air quotes, but normal lifestyle again. And I found myself realizing that I was losing this way of being, is what it felt like. Okay, air quotes, losing, and kind of having a come down, if you will, from this heightened state. And I've heard people talk about kind of those early awakening experiences being almost like a honeymoon phase where it's like amazing and, you know, all the things. And then like most relationships, you know, that phase needs to end so that there's something deeper and yada, yada. But I'm back here in Maui and I'm certainly not having that same experience right now, which is why I'm like, okay, Sam, you were in that for 6 months. Like, where are you now? What are you noticing? What's your relationship been to it?
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I could relate so much. So yeah, I have the same thing. You know, it's funny. I was making up that this year, in the same months as I had this experience, I would re-experience it. Something in my heart, mind, whatever, was just anticipating that's now what I would experience in those months.
Yeah.
You know, and of course I haven't. I mean, I've had some beautiful moments and everything, but you know, real life kicks in and there are bills to pay and work to do. And it hasn't been the same. And I did have that feeling of, hang on a minute, but I'm supposed to be feeling this right now. And, you know, I'm supposed to be going in nature and getting all of these signs just like I did last year. And, you know, and they're supposed to be leading me. So there was a lot of, I think now I'm speaking to it, my mind was making up a pattern that it thought was going to be real. Mm-hmm. And actually there was nothing about the mind in the experience anyway. So that just shows you how limiting thought can be sometimes. Yeah, definitely a come down. And yet at the same time, such a tenderness for the place that was for those 6 months. And I guess I'm left feeling more than anything, just gratitude that I know that feeling. And it was also a period of time in my life where I probably felt the most needed I've ever done. Mm. And I think the reason for that was it was nothing about me at all, really. It was just that it was this strong feeling that was wanting to come through. And that's what was needed about it, you know? I could feel the impact of that. So sometimes I'm like, oh, I'd love to have a bit of that back right now. Because, totally. You know.
I'm like, come on, I really could use some parking.
Right, totally.
Yeah, I love that though, because I think, tell me if this resonates for you, but I feel like so much of the spiritual journey, at least in early days, is really fueled by this seeking mentality, right? Seeking truth, seeking our true nature, understanding the self more. What are my gifts, my trauma, my pain, so that I can figure out or really embody my purpose more? Like, these things require trying tantra and doing meditation and seeking. And then we have these honeymoon awakening experiences. I'm just making this up real time. Of course, I need like some linear structure. This is my human mind. And then it's this other cliche thing that people in the spiritual community will sometimes say, which is stop seeking. And there's such a duality there, because they'll also be the same people that agree that the seeking is required to a point. And then it's letting go of that attachment and really now just being what you described in that first poem,
yeah.
You know, like, and now we stop seeking and we start to just commit to these practices that we've learned have served, and commit to our fullest expression of self, and commit and recommit. And pretty soon, yeah. More devotion. And I make up that at that point, I'm not there yet, but at that point, something else, like with relationships, a deeper version of, deeper than the honeymoon could ever be, is found.
Yeah, completely. And there's something I want to add on that. And that's around, like, when you were saying about the seeking, there's something that I realized I was doing. Notice the active verb there. And yeah. That was looking.
Mm-hmm.
And at points during this awakening, I was realizing this is just about seeing. So you have to be in this almost, I'm going to say, passive place to mm-hmm. see. Mm-hmm. Open and passive at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Receptive, let's say. And then it comes, or at least that's what I found during that time. And yet I still can't quite emulate that, you know, right now, but that's what I remember from it.
There was just,
and I don't know whether it was also because everything had slowed down so much in the world that perhaps, you know, it is that thing where when it slows to that degree, then we can finally see, because there's not all of the background noise. There's not, you know, and so it's able to happen for you.
That's a fascinating thought, that our society slowing down is supportive to these sorts of gifts and ways of being. It seems maybe obvious now that I'm saying it, but in a highly doing culture, it's not.
Right.
Yeah. And just as we tie this up, I just want to come back to the fact that I had pointed out wanting to talk about just your evolution with intuition. And so with what you just shared, what's your relationship to your intuitive gifts now?
Yeah. So I love this topic too much. My relation is that I trust them more. I am claiming more that this is who I am and what I'm meant to be. And that I don't always know, or often even know, how that looks or why. And that's okay. So I know that all sounds really enigmatic, but yeah, it's so real to me. And I block myself when I try to be anything other than just in my intuitive space, because I feel like that's my that's who I'm meant to be, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, a lot of intuition comes through in a hearing stuff. So, you know, I consider myself, as you know, to be clairaudient. My journey with poetry began after my dad's funeral, when I was walking to work in despair and overwhelmed and in a really, really dark and horrible place of grief. And I heard a message, write it down. And so then I began typing in my phone these poems, and they just came out, you know, rhyming and
this is the literally. First time you wrote poetry?
No, it's not the first time I wrote poetry, but I'd written sporadically and really, like, you know, never, like, I hadn't written for a long time for a start, and it'd never been a habit or something that I attached any importance to in any way. Yeah. And yet there in that moment, it was like, that's what you've got to do. And so on that day, I decided I'm going to honor that every day. And so I have since then. I've written at least one poem every day since 2015, December. And that's, it's actually something that feels like a faithful friend in my life, and a joyful, amazing way to express my soul and what I love. And I'd love to actually read one last poem, if that's okay, before we close. Would you mind that?
I should read a poem in closing. Sounds pretty.
It's cool. Not quite as serious as the first. And it's called Fuck It.
Oh, perfect.
Fuck the next day, the next week, the next year. Fuck all the things that need doing. The sun is a shining, you're real and you're here. Melt in and the moment start wooing. Fuck all the bills and the judgments they make. Fuck all the things you are lacking. You're here for a reason. There are no mistakes. Relax and send troubles a packing. Fuck all the musts and the oughts and the shoulds. Fuck all the duties and limits. Life is the present. Stop knocking on wood. Nestle in to what's pure, not the gimmicks. Fuck all the mess and the pain and the tears. Fuck what you've been misconstruing. Let yourself sense all the joy that appears when you fuck all the things that need doing.
Oh, what a perfect ending to this show. Fuck it, ladies and gentlemen. Sam, really though, this is your impact, such lightness and tenderness and truth. And my dear sister and queen, it has been such an honor to be with you today.
Oh, I have loved every single minute, Shelby. I just love talking to you and just so grateful that our paths crossed and we've become such amazing friends and iguana sisters. Seriously, you're doing such amazing work here and it's just effortless to talk to you.
Thank you. And I honestly feel the exact same way for you, my sweet sister. Have a wonderful day and thank you for being on the podcast. But before you go, I have to ask, will you please share with us what you are creating in the world now?
Yes, I would love to share with you our Vibrant Females Conscious Leadership Program, which is an online program that I'm running with my lovely friend, iguana sister, co-active coach, leadership coach, Magena. And it's all about helping women to show up in their colorful, vibrant leadership, really amplifying their female leadership qualities and coming forth in their full permission selves for the sake of authenticity, for the sake of presence and personal empowerment. So it's a fantastic journey. I know we haven't got long right now, but we've just had our first cohort complete, had some lovely feedback. It was just such a joy to witness these women on their journey to becoming vibrant females. And we always have such a diverse range of women on the program. So if you're interested, perhaps Shelby, you'll share the info. But we are having a program starting in September. It's a 5-week program, 2-hour calls on Wednesday evening, Central European summertime. And we'll also be rerunning the same program again in October. And we're also taking bookings for companies that want to have groups of women going through this empowering leadership experience, which is going to impact them personally and professionally and so much more.
Yeah. It's such a needed offering, I feel like, for right now, especially in our times. And I'm just curious if you could offer a little bit more color on the, like, the woman who could really benefit from this today is experiencing what in their life?
Thank you. Yeah. So obviously it can be many reasons, but it tends to be women that know they have so much more to offer than they're allowing themselves to show and bring forth. So they may be in a successful job, you know, everything might look very successful from the outside, and yet there's something about their colors, their flavors, who they are, their experience, you know, their grit, their everything that is just not getting to have space in their lives. Maybe they feel like they're playing a role or many roles, wearing lots of hats, and feeling a bit stuck in the expressions that are expected of them rather than that kind of authentic place of coming forth with what's really there. So it tends to be women that are looking for that kind of push to really claim who they are, and put their message out there, and, you know, do away with the limiting voices, the saboteurs, as we call them in coaching, and to start rewriting the narrative in a more empowering and liberating way. We explore everything really in the program, you know. And one of my favorite weeks, if I could just say, is the week where we go to flourishing. So once we've looked at the things that are holding us back and are getting in our own way, then we start to be able to come forth in our more opened, flourishing selves. And we have a special kind of ceremony within the program around that place, and it's beautiful. And we actually specifically chose in our model a passion flower at the center. And so it really is kind of like the petals of that flower that you are opening out, and all of those colors being able to be seen in their vibrancy, in their uniqueness. Yeah. And just seeing people there, seeing these women there owning that, and the impact that that's having on all aspects of their lives is quite incredible. So, yeah.
Mm. Your passion is palpable, and I can personally attest to this. You are such a profound advocate for women and empowerment. And for those listening, I have experienced some of your programs and offerings, and I'm more free as a result, certainly. So I just can't say enough about both you and McGinnis' credibility and all of the normal credibility ways of certifications and what have you. You both have been coaching for a long time and really helping your clients feel like they are living the life that they want to live. And this is why this work is so sacred. So thank you for being the bright light in the world that you are. Thank you again for being with me today. And I will talk to you soon, I am so sure. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Shelby. This was so lovely. Mm-hmm.
Thanks again for tuning in to this week's episode. It was such an honor and privilege to co-create the show with Sam, and I'm moved by the realization again and again of how powerful it is to share our real human journeys with each other. I hope that you received an ounce minimally of inspiration and insight and healing from this show, as I know I sure did. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next week. Big love always.